This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Rayom. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help, 954-966-4646.
All right. How you feeling, my brother? You feeling good?
Feeling good. A Friday. Feel good Friday.
Yes, it is. It is a feel good Friday. So what else have you learned post draft?
What else have I learned post draft?
Free agents.
Dolphins brought in a series of undrafted guys, 12 of them. I'm sorry? What was that?
Yeah. That's what I mean. What have you learned post-draft, street free agents, guys like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we did see DJ Chark off the board. I know you mentioned as soon as I reiterated the report that, he was never really on the Dolphins' radar. So, I mean, we do know Odell Beckham Jr. That still is a possibility. Status quo kind of there. And Tyler Boyd.
He just wants too much money, Odell. Yeah.
Right.
On Wednesday, right. I was told that they weren't ever interested in DJ Chark. By the way, dude, I've been saying it for well over 8 months. I already did that a while ago, and now I'll do it again. I'll remind everybody, Dalton Reisner he's never been on the radar. Never been on the radar for the Dolphins. So I don't know why people keep talking about him, too. It's really weird. But the Chark one, I was disappointed, but I was more shocked at why. So it was just like, wow, okay. So they weren't fans of his at all. And that's kind of interesting. I was like, wow. Okay. I was like, All right. Not interesting.
Big fans of Dalton. And I never know if it's Risner, as far as pronouncing it, but a lot of Dolphins fans, big fans of him. So, but it seems more like an external fan desire than anything from the team.
Trust me. I mean, I did a piece 8 months ago that he wasn't on their radar at all. And then I went back to check and I said, hey, you know, people are talking. No, we're not interested. So it's like one of those things that it's created by media and fans, and there's zero truth to it. It's amazing. There's zero truth to it. Okay. And so the Chark one I had never asked until this week. And then I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, dude, I'm sorry to insult you. It's like kind of one of those things like, whoa, you guys really don't like him. You know, so they weren't fans of his. I was like, wow, I'm a big fan. I go, wow, I don't know what I'm missing, you know, but they weren't big fans of his. How about that?
Yeah. So, yeah. Good on you for actually checking in on that. And I think some of the probably hubbub for Risner comes from the Butch Berry connection. But remember that 1 year that Berry was in Denver, 2022, not a good year for him as far as connections made in that building and sort of the reputation there with the guys there. Remember, there was all this about his
–
which has been proven wrong now once he got here.
Well, I'm starting – he was – yeah, listen, Denver hasn't fixed shit. So
– Right.
A mess for years there. And by the way, when he worked at the U, they were a mess also.
Yeah.
And so he comes here, and it's what I said about Tua the first 2 years. When people were picking on Tua, I'm like, yo, dude, he has no coaching. He has no offensive coordinator. He has no offensive line coach. You know, like, he doesn't have any weapons his first year. Like, you know, like, what do you want him to do? He's still winning more than he's losing. He's still throwing more touchdowns. Wait till he gets it. I said the same thing with Austin Jackson. Pepe Le Pew is not a coach, bro. That's not the guy. And now he's like number four learning. He's like a level above an intern now. And that guy was coaching. And now Austin Jackson gets real coaching in just 1 year.
Oh, Lem Jean Pierre you're talking about. I had to pick up on that for a second.
Oh, yeah, that's Pepe Le Pew. Let me take you to the cash bar, baby. Yes, yes. Le Pew is, Lem Pierre is Le Pew. And so Austin Jackson. Austin Jackson wasn't coached the first couple of years because he had no coach. And then his first year with these guys, he had the high ankle sprain the whole year. The guy's been coached 1 year, and in 1 year, he got himself a contract extension because he played so damn well. I expect Eifert to also improve, too, because he was injured also the year before and last year. If he stays healthy, then I think he's going to end up playing really, really well also. Environment helps. And I'm starting to think that Butch Berry was in a shitty environment in Denver. I know for a fact the environment at the U at that time was shitty. Yeah. So, and now he comes here and he works well with these guys and works wonders with the O-line. I'm going to give Butch Berry over Denver and the U the benefit of the doubt, bro.
Yeah, and that's one of the better moves that we've seen from Mike McDaniel. He's made a lot of good personnel moves. I know that was always the thing you would knock Brian Flores on is that he couldn't build a staff. But, I mean, building a staff is the thing that Mike McDaniel does very well. And, I mean, he showed a lot of conviction to trust Butch Berry despite everything else that was out there. And I remember I actually asked – actually, it was because we were talking about it last season, and then at one point I brought it up with the job that Butch Berry had done with all the rotating lines and backups coming in to play starter snaps and at different positions, with 12 different lines all season, and how he maintained some level of consistency for that line of competency for the offensive line. And I asked Mike McDaniel at one point, it was really strong on him to have that conviction, even though everything else from the outside could have told him, boy, it'd be safe if you just pick someone else because everyone's going to criticize you in the moment for going with this guy. But he knew him from a stop in San Francisco, and he was right that he would be the right guy for the job. And the environment that the Dolphins have has definitely helped in that regard and with young linemen. So, hey, maybe Liam Eichenberg can take another step like we did see a little bit when he did have his chance. His chances last year, same as Austin Jackson, same as Tua when that started to turn well for him. So the environment plays a huge role in all aspects of things.
Dude, Keon, in the little snaps he played well. So that's why, and that's why the Patrick Paul thing, you know, I've mentioned to people, if you listen to Armstead this offseason, I think it was with Rich Eisen or some. He said to him, you know, midway through this past year, it finally clicked what we had to do on the offensive line, because you know this offensive line requires you to be in certain places and leave, you know, other responsibilities to go somewhere else, and you have to trust the system that somebody else will pick up that. And now I've gotten it, and that's a veteran. So that's why I'm saying you got to be a little bit more patient with young linemen because they're learning a new system. And if Teron Armstead, it took him over a year to kind of really get in a groove of understanding, you got to also feel for these other guys and say, okay, there's a learning curve here. And once that learning curve is crossed, then the light really goes on. And that's why I think also we're really lucky that this is the third year of the system now.
Yeah. So
guys are going to really start flourishing here because they're going to be really comfortable and they're not going to have to think a lot.
Yeah, one thing I've heard that from Mike McDaniel himself, even talking to him off camera is not the whole press conference setting that everyone can stream, is how important to him that second year for an offensive lineman is in a system, that there's a huge step, a huge learning curve going into that second season that takes place, which is why he had the confidence in Austin Jackson that offseason to not go and sign a tackle to a lucrative deal and trust Austin Jackson, trust what they already had internally. Same with Liam Eichenberg and believing in him. So even if Teron Armstead is saying it, as a more than 10 years, a double-digit year veteran in the league, who had 3 Pro Bowls coming in, earned another 2 since he's been here, so 5-time Pro Bowler, maybe going into his last season, he's in his 30s and a veteran that has seen it, I don't know if all, but a lot of things. If it if it takes him a learning curve, then it's going to take young guys a learning curve, and it's a good situation. So second round pick Patrick Paul comes into where there isn't immediate pressure. You're not expected to, okay, we need an immediate starter to slide in at left tackle. Now, Teron Armstead is liable to miss some games, but you also even have Kendall Lamb behind him. So it's a low pressure situation for Patrick Paul. So I really like how he could just learn. And then, hey, yeah, he is two injuries away from having to step in. And then maybe you do get some production out of him immediately, but no pressure right now. And then you put him in a good spot going into year two, starting next season, starting into 2025.
Dude, he gets a year of learning, and then next year he'll be much more comfortable in the system. The thing that people don't understand, because the people are, well, he's not going to be much of a factor this year. Well, he has to learn a complicated system. This way, when Teron and Lamb leave, he's been a year in the system. Maybe he gets playing time. Maybe he doesn't, whatever. But then the following year, he comes back in a system that he knows, and he can start to flourish in it right away. If you throw a rookie in there to fill in that you just drafted next offseason, man, it just becomes that much harder. So you've got to have some foresight here. And you're hoping, you know, that's what Noah was. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but he was the guy that should have taken over for Byron Jones. Just like Cam Smith has to be the guy that takes over for X. These guys are drafted a year ahead of time so they can kind of get ready to then be able to take over. And as a general manager, everything can't be about the now. You sometimes have to plan for the future. And when we talk about corners, we talk about tackles, we talk about pass rushers, things like that, he's going to have to plan ahead for those kind of things because those are very important positions. And you notice he's trying to plan ahead for some of these things, and hopefully some of them work, and some, of course, will not.
Yeah. And Chris Greer has mentioned as much where he said, yeah, you draft not only looking at this upcoming year's roster, but the following year. So you do have all those contingency plans in place. And they're not even ones to really go by need. They are not going to go by need. It's best player available approach. They target the guy that they want, like they did with Chop Robinson in the first round. And then now, obviously, they wouldn't go completely reach to – if a best player available was available at a position where you really do not need someone, like they weren't looking at first-round quarterbacks, Chris Greer eliminated that even before the draft, obviously. But yeah, it does serve you well to then go ahead and give yourself that plan, especially at a position if knowing what we know about Mike McDaniel's beliefs of the benefits of a second year for an offensive lineman in the same system, then, yeah, you need to draft him a year ahead of time. Not when you need him to start.
Yep, I'm with you there. All right. Have you heard anything else? Because we are just a little over a month away from them getting their money. So anything on the Tua front? Because I'm sure it's going to be done sometime in June.
Yeah, you think June? I think it could be anytime June or July.
Yeah.
Leading up to probably anytime in the summer. So,
I think they get it out of the way before training camp. I really do. I don't think they want that. I don't think they want to deal with all you guys asking every day in training camp, because that's what's going to happen in training camp. So I have a feeling, since everything has been so amicable, that I think they'll get it done before training camp, have the separate press conference, get it over with. And then that way they could just move on and turn the page and talk football instead of talking finances.
That would be the ideal scenario, I think, for the Dolphins. We know since we started bringing this up, leading into when we were at the combine, and that's early offseason, so you still haven't even had, you're fresh off the Super Bowl a couple weeks earlier, so offseason just getting started at that point. And at that point, it was, well, these things take time. There's a lot of small details that have to be worked out. I think over time, a lot of those little things get put into place. And then once you get into June, July, now you start sort of giving yourselves these hard deadlines. Like, all right, we really do want to get this done, though, before training camp begins. So I would see any time in this summer as being a viable point in time where it could happen. And first and foremost, right now, I think in the Dolphins building, it's all right, they're celebrating that they have F1 Miami this weekend coming in. So I think that's just a big deal around the building. So maybe some time to, like, I mean, even Mike McDaniel this week was courtside at a Heat game. We know in the past, sort of this time of year is sort of like him and Chris Greer, we're seeing a Heat games. Players are going to Panthers games.
By the way, you're into the Max Verstappen race?
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, really, Jesus Christ. I mean, talk about a sport with zero drama in it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Zero suspense, zero, like, it's like a Heat regular season game. Blah, nothing.
There's no stopping Verstappen.
Yeah, I mean, really, seriously, what a joke. Will Verstappen's engine break today? I mean, what, that's the only suspect. What a boring-ass sport. I mean, it must be fun to just go and people watch and all that kind of crap and go check. The track is amazing, the work they do. Yeah. But the sport itself, pure garbage, bro.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are into it globally, so
bro, yeah, right. Follow a cult, because that's what it is. I mean, where's the skill in that sport, dude? Like, yeah. There's nothing to it. It's the same dude winning every single race. This is like watching Andy Reid in kick, punt, pass. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah. When he was a kid, right?
Yeah, he's 12. He's like 6'3", and they're all like 5.
The famous video, yeah.
10 or something. He's like three times their size. You know, this is like watching Shaq probably in junior high, just like, you know, just like, and then everybody's like, you know, scratching his tits or something because they can't reach anywhere else. You know, I mean, give me a break, dude. Like, this is one sport that it's like a scam. Everybody pays to go see the same guy win. What are we doing here? I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't endorse this. It just, you know, I get it. Hopkins and Tom Garfinkel don't want to hear this, but I'm sorry, dude. I'm not impressed. Just not impressed.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're used to driving in Miami, so you expect us to be impressed. I want to see these guys make it through rush hour on the Palmetto. That's what would impress me.
I'd rather watch a race in Homestead any day of the week. That's a real race. I don't know who's going to win. There's actually, like, changings of the guard, the lead, and all that kind of stuff. Here, it's like, in this story, the Tampa Bay Lightning will always win and the Panthers will never win. That's not how the race is supposed to go, where, you know, others are supposed to have a chance. And, you know, it's weird, bro.
Yeah.
Weird.
Are you picking too much on tickets?
Did you get any free tickets to go? Because I know you didn't buy any, that's for sure.
Well, I'm attending Saturday just to get, like, grounds pass, check it out. I have some friends already going, so I'll be joining them. So check out the environment. A couple of years ago, I went on the Friday as well, just to get a feel for the environment. So I'll tell you, yeah, those cars they zoom by pretty fast. But also, yeah. Then, like, once you see one, then, you know, you've kind of seen it all. Yeah, to me. So
it's, man. Whatever, bro.
Yeah. I struggle to identify who it even is when they're driving by. I'm like, I mean, it was just a blur that passed by. But
I can tell you this. I hate to do the old man card. It was a hell of a lot more fun down in Miami and downtown, because in those races, that was actually Grand Prix, and that was Indy cars, and there were different winners and all that. Plus, I was an extra in a Miami Vice show. So, that helped out also. You'll never find me because I was in a group of people. But yeah, I was an extra. I still have the ticket and everything to be an extra on Miami Vice. So that was actually cool. But yeah, the people watching and the experience of seeing it one time, I think that's cool. But outside of that, it's just like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, because you go and visit. It really is. It's people from all over the globe. I mean, right. Yeah, you can tell that. It's very this international sort of meeting grounds, congregation of fans of this sport. And then and I was brand new to it when it first started, that I mean, and not that I've really learned much about it since. I might, if I'm watching ESPN very late night when it's on when it's in Europe or something, and it gets started, then I might like check it out a little bit, and then I'm all right, I got to call this a night. But it is really cool that the Dolphins have put on events like this, that they've turned what is just the Dolphins, a football team, into what Stephen Ross has in the Dolphins Hard Rock Stadium, F1 Miami, plus Miami Open, the concerts that they have there. They put on Dolphins Challenge Cancer. So, I mean, a lot that Miami Dolphins is a football team.
Yeah, the property is amazing. You're talking about Rolling Thunder, Jazz in the Gardens. They have some amazing concerts there to go with the tennis and all that. But, dude, they have a gondola. I mean, are you kidding me, bro? That's like ridiculous. So, no, I get it. The whole thing is he's got a hospital on the damn property. I mean, it's just what he's done and what Garfinkel's done. It is truly amazing. Truly amazing.
Yeah. What other NFL franchises are doing that? That's why everything together, the conglomerate, that's why you had that report of someone's willing to offer $10 billion and Steve Ross is still like, not selling right now.
I talked about it yesterday. I'm glad he said that because I might be in the minority or whatever. I love the direction they're going in. I finally, after killing them for 20 plus years, I really believe the direction they're going in. They've had terrible luck the last 2 years at the end with injuries. If they can see, that's where the people that say, oh, the Dolphins took a step back this offseason. Really? What if they're healthy at the end of this year? Wouldn't they be better than the last 2 years? Even without Wilkins, wouldn't they be better? If they're all healthy, if your offensive line is healthy, if Fuller is there instead of a broken down X, if Holland has actually both knees healthy, you know, if you have your linebackers there, and Brooks, I think, is better than Baker as it is. So if the team is healthy, they're not better than they were last year? Of course they are, dude. They took a step back the last 2 years because a third of their team or half their team was injured. For Christ's sake, they didn't even have their quarterback 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Besides all the other injuries that they had. You know, it's just I think sometimes people get a little ridiculous with all of this. What they really need is health at the end of the year. Because you've got a team that at the end of the year, bro, it's a mash unit that is not playing.
Well, I think both things can be true, that the roster at its face value is a slight net loss from where it was if you had everyone healthy. But in the NFL, that's just not reality. So it becomes, what will this team be at the end of the year? And that's ultimately how everyone's going to judge, is if they finally get this first playoff win since 2000 and take a step further as far as advancing deeper and competing in the postseason. Which you need health at the end of the year to be able to do that. Even if the roster in July is slightly worse than what you would call it if you're just looking at it on paper.
On paper, it's better in July than it was. Well, this year won't be because Phillips and Chubb are injured.
Yeah.
But if Phillips and Chubb are healthy, if everybody's healthy, I don't know how you say they're worse. If everybody's healthy, they're a better team this year than they were the last 2 years.
And what I mean by July is the hypothetical roster of, here's where we lay out the depth chart. Here's all the names that you have, assuming health. Not necessarily like, okay, yeah, in July.
How many major injuries did Kansas City have? Going into the Super Bowl and into the playoffs, how many major injuries did Kansas City have?
Oh, I think they maybe had one on the injury report or something like that. It was something stupid. It was like,
by the way, that's most of these teams that get deep into it. They happen to have a little luck. I remember one year that Atlanta got there. They didn't have none of their linemen missed a snap or something stupid. You know, it just shit goes your way when you go deep because you're healthy. And that's all I'm saying. And don't tell me that the team took a step back because, if you're honest, you have to say, well, how healthy were they at the end of the year? Because both can't be true. What really affected you was all the injuries at the end of the year. We can't go SPO, oh, we have enough. No, you don't have enough, bro. You don't have enough. Holland's playing with two injured knees. X is a nothing. a shadow of what he was. All three of your linebackers came in with AARP cards. Okay? Two-thirds of your offensive line was mincemeat. Your center was, the backup center was playing with a leg injury for the last couple of weeks. I mean, it was a joke what was going on, the amount of injuries that they had on that team. And to, you know, how are you going to say that they're not going to be better if they're not healthy? If they get a couple of breaks like regular playoff teams that get deep into the playoffs, I like the Dolphins' chances.
Yeah. And if things really do even out over time, then the Dolphins, I think, have a lot of good karma in place for them because they have had all those injuries the last couple of years. They're due to finally just be healthy at the end of the year and have one of those seasons of like those teams where that were able to make those deep runs.
Yes, definitely need that. All right, what do you got going on in the Sentinel so folks can check you out?
Easy weekend today, taking it easy, unless there's some news. And then get right back to it. Monday, we have Dolphins Deep Dive with Chris Perkins. I'll be on that as well.
All right. Good stuff. Follow him on Twitter at @DavidFaronis_. David, as always, thank you, my brother. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. You too. Thank you.
You got it. There you go. David Faronis. Call my guys, Welton Rayom. I will be with Daniel Rayom tomorrow on that stunt plane. You will see the video, by the way. You'll catch the video. We're going to post it on social media, maybe even get me throwing up all over the place. I might look like the Exorcist in that plane, all over the place. Bankruptcy, homeowner property damage, condo damage, criminal defense, business owner claims, commercial litigation, personal injury. Call my guys, Jeff Welter, Daniel Rayom. If you think you have a case and you're not sure, the consultation's free. It doesn't hurt to pick up the phone and call 954-966-4646. They're in Hollywood, but you can call them from anywhere in the state and they will take care of you. 954-966-4646 for Welt and Rayom.